This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight guest Julie Kitamura from Santa Cruz, California. Julie shares how friends, acquaintances, groups, and programs have helped her progress. She also offers a story about an unlikely comment from an unlikely friend who shifted her perspective on the circumstance. Her story is entitled, What I've Learned. Thank you for joining us for part one, Julie Kitamura's story. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. Today we welcome guest Julie Kitamura from Santa Cruz, California. She loves spending time with friends and family. Julie was a triathlete before her stroke in 2013 and continues to swim, bike, and run now. She is powered by friends, family, coffee, and future races. Julie's story is entitled, What I've Learned. Before we begin, we take a moment of pause. In Julie's story, she asks, what can I learn from all this? And for our moment of pause, we wonder just that. Taking a moment to recall the trials, the triumphs, the climbs, the celebrations, the relationships. And we wonder, what have we and what could we learn from all of this? We ask for guidance. We ask for grace. We ask for wisdom. And we give thanks.
On November 12, 2013, I was training for the cycling part of a triathlon. I chose to train county roads because there are very few cars that travel there. I was training hard that day, all day, but when all of a sudden I felt as though I had had a flat tire. I dismounted the bike and was sitting on the side of the road. The next thing that I knew, a driver had stopped to check me out. He asked me if I was okay. I mumbled back. He assumed I was dehydrated, so drove up, asked for help from a fire station. When the firemen checked the scene, they knew needed backup and called an ambulance. After a short period of time, the Wattsville Hospital, they decided to airlift me to Stanford Hospital, where there's a stroke center. At this point, I was still conscious and upset about how much this whole situation would cost. My friend Lindsay, who was by my side, helped me to calm down and understand this is just what I needed to be done. I don't remember the helicopter raid, but I do remember loud noises of Stanford's MRI machine. That tight space, I remember yelling, that was all too much. Later that night, I remember laying in the hospital bed, so confused. I had no pain. I just understand what was happening. I tried to get out of that bed, but fell to the floor. That was the first time that I realized that something was terribly wrong. Then I went to sleep. When I woke, I saw my face was droopy. I kept raising and lowering the bed. I'm sure I was an easy patient. I was trying to escape. I was in the hospital for 10 to 12 days, relearning to walk before they transferred me to Dominican Hospital inpatient occupational physical and speech therapy. At some point, I was able to return home, yet continued therapy 3 days a week for 2 or 3 years after. After returning home was a very trying time for me. I wanted to be normal again. It was difficult trying to accept my disabilities. I was upsetting and disappointing and depressing. I couldn't trim my fingernails. I needed help. I asked my mother to give me a bath. I felt humiliated. At age of 49, my mom is bathing me and washing my hair. During my therapy, I knew I could do more. Before the stroke, I used to train 5 or 6 days a week for triathlons. I wanted to be normal. I want to train again. Therapy is training. I wanted to be with athletes because I am an athlete. After 5 weeks of my stroke, I announced my friend Lindsay I was going to enter She Is Beautiful 5-kilometer race. Lindsay texted me saying, you can't do that. When I received her text, I cried, partially in frustration, partially in pain, and totally confused. I longer felt sorry for myself. I needed to prove it to everyone else. I was in good shape. At that point in therapy, I was focused on my arm and my hand. I was a little wobbly from the damage of my left hemisphere, but I could still walk. I was practicing the stairs by that point, and I could even ride my bike. Riding is different from walking, though. I needed to learn to run. I needed to train for this race. I decided to work on my therapist with running piece and seek out other help for race training. Fleet Feet Optus, our local running store, had a training seminar specifically for the She Is Beautiful race. I had trained for fleet groups in the past, so I enrolled in this one. Our group met twice weekly, and my mother and my mini dachshund, Maggie, drove me to the Aptos High School track to meet Coach Polani and the elders. When I first arrived, I was happy to see Coach Polani, and she was glad to see me too. I trained before the stroke, and now I was back. I walked the high school track twice a week for 3 weeks. Then one day I told myself, I am a runner. Let's run this. It wasn't pretty, but I began jogging around the track. It felt so good to run. I was very impressed with my movement. I looked over and I saw my mom and my dog watching me. My dog even jumped up in excitement. I think I was surprised with my body. I thought, hey, it's working. It worked. I was stoked. Jogging the whole lap around the track, a quarter of a mile. The race was nearing, and I was confident about my ability. My brother Ron drove me at the course as we walked together. I was ready. It was really important for me to run this race. I wanted my normal self back. I felt if I run this, I would be complete. I would be whole again. Born of the women's only race, 5,000 to 8,000 women gathered on East Cliff in Santa Cruz. At the starting line, I found my friends Mindy, Lindsay, and 8-year-old Michaela. I was so ready for this. I was going to stay with the pacer, enjoy the ocean view, and reclaim my title as a runner. Towards the end of the race, I started to walk because I was tired. When I recovered, I started to jog, but I noticed others were walking. There was no way I was going to walk through the finish line. Just then, my Fleet Feet coach pointed to the finish line and said, "Keep going." So I did. I ran all the way through the finish line. My brother Ron, my friends, Lindsay, Mindy, and Michaela greeted me there. On our way home, Lindsay kept telling me, "I'm so proud of you." I thanked her, but I didn't surprise myself. I knew I could do it. I just needed to prove it to others. I recently asked her why. "Why was she so proud of me?" She responded, "You could barely walk when you signed up. By 5 months after your stroke, you completed a 5K race." I was blown away. Now understand why Lindsay is so proud of me. The "She is beautiful" race prints on their t-shirt. I believe in sweating every day. I believe running with your friends is better than therapy. I believe happy girls are beautiful girls. I believe strong is pretty. She is beautiful. I think about this poem. I think about Lindsay. I am so thankful for her friendship. She showed up in the ER for me that day, and she motivated me to prove her wrong about the race. She did it, and she supported me throughout. Our friendship is sweaty. Our friendship is therapy. Our friendship is strong. Our friendship is beautiful. I'm thankful she was by my side then and now as I train each day of my stroke recovery journey. I still get frustrated, discouraged, and depressed at times when I can't perform simple tasks. My evenings can be difficult emotionally. I often review my day and get very upset with God, you know, the big man, big kahuna. One point, my friend Judy invited me to the women's group meeting. The speaker of this group was B. B labeled herself as an alcoholic woman. Every alcoholic has low periods in life. B shared that she got so desperate for alcohol, she resorted to prostitution just to get a drink. I was in shock. Eventually, B got sober. To me, B seemed like a vibrant, happy person, had a positive glow in her eyes. If she could through such low points to work where she is now, I knew I could work through recovery each day too. Later on, I decided to go another AA meeting because one of my friends earned a special coin for the a number of years she was sober. I went to support her. B was part of the group. I sat into B because she was such a friendly person. My friend told the group about my stroke. As the meeting started, B began talking to me. B began with, "Julie, I am very about your stroke. I know this be a very trying time for you. Know that there is a reason for this. God wanted you to have the stroke." I was taken aback. That was a crazy statement. God wanted this terrible affliction with these horrible effects on my body. I wondered why she believed that. But in an odd way, I understood what B was saying. B told me God has a plan for this experience. She told me, you must learn from this experience. After that conversation, I had a lot of classes. Well, if God intended me to have this stroke, I need to learn something. This kept repeating in my mind. If I'm being pissed off at God, I need to find a purpose in life because I know I'm no here for a reason. I'm not a religious person, though. As a child, I was baptized Presbyterian. Since I am of Japanese descent, Buddhism always influences in my family. In a way, I see the world. Buddhism is about suffering and how to overcome desire. In Buddhism, we strive for enlightenment. In a way, being commitment was nudging me towards enlightenment. I can let go of my suffering, desire to be pre-stroke me in order to learn what I need, learn this lifetime. So often I wonder what I am supposed to learn from all this. First thing that comes to mind is, I am not a stroke victim. I am a stroke survivor. This horrible condition, but I remind myself, I am not a victim. These days, I spend a lot of time in the local community college, Cabrillo College. They have a program specifically for stroke survivors. It's called the Stroke and Disability Learning Center. I commit to campus twice a week for classes and adaptive physical education and adaptive swimming. I also engage at scalp acupuncture twice a week. Regaining my ability after stroke is a full-time job. The Stroke and Disability Center at Cabrillo College has fitness classes, support groups, classes for memory, communication, computer, brain games, and even bocce ball. I love my time at the Stroke Center. They have a saying, love is broken here. I thought, what a crock of shit. But with my deeply wounded body, I really needed help. And I found they live up to their saying. I truly feel the love that was spoken there. In retrospect, the Stroke Center is a blessing in disguise. All of the staff members are positive and enthusiastic. As corny as it is, love is spoken here rings true. About 60% of students at the Stroke Center are stroke survivors. The rest others have other maladies, usually concerning with disabilities. I know I'm not supposed to compare, but many other students are in worse than me. Some are in wheelchairs. Some walk very slowly with a cane. Others have difficult talking. I feel lucky to join the program. I am constantly improving and progressing with my rehabilitation. This program reminds me all of us seeing life in a positive way. Throughout my journey, I realized we need to be in the community. This helps me out of my head. I am surrounded by lots of people who have disabilities. We complement each other and cheer each other on. I've developed lots of friendships. It's important for me to surround myself with positive people. So I'll take my parents to church each week. That congregation welcomes me with open arms. I also like to ride my bike around town and greet the same people along the way. When I ride my bike, I feel a sense of independence. It feels freeing to me. When I stop at the grocery store and downtown book and craft coffee and hop, the workers and the clients are always friendly. I've learned the importance of putting myself out there, getting out of the house. When I isolate, I feel like I'm shriveling up. I need to get out of the house. I need to engage with others. This is what keeps me going, and I can see to be reciprocal. I can see it. I am able to support others when I get out of my house. My hope for other stroke survivors is that they also embrace life and are able to find the positive, even the worst of times. This is where I've found contentment with myself, depth in my friendships, and adventure in life.
And this week, for our moment of pause, we will turn to the Serenity Prayer, which is a suggestion of Julie's. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to Part 1, Julie Kitamura's story. Stick with us for Part 2, Julie Kitamura's interview. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, guest Julie Kitamura from Santa Cruz, California, shared how her friends, acquaintances, groups, and programs have helped progress. She also offered a story about an unlikely comment from an unlikely friend that shifted her perspective on the circumstance. Her story is entitled, What I've Learned. If you enjoyed this moment of pause for storytelling and reflection, please like, share, or subscribe to the Beyond Stillness Stories After Stroke podcast. Again, thanks for listening. And remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you are part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.